Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Untapped North. I am your host, Andrew Stewarts, and I cannot believe that I am finally able to bring you my very first podcast episode. I have been looking forward to this for quite a while, and I just want to give a shout out to anyone out there who is taking the opportunity to listen to this very first episode, and hopefully future episodes to come. So, now that I've got you here, what is Untapped North? Well, I guess long story short, Untapped North is your place to get a bit of Northern Ontario take on sports. So, what do I mean by that? Well, I am from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and as a Northern Ontario sports fanatic, I'm going to do my best to provide you with entertaining and yet factual content surrounding our Canadian sports teams. So yes, we're going to cover the NHL and the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Oilers. We're also going to cover baseball, so we're going to cover the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, that also means we're going to cover a little bit of basketball as well and dive into some of what the Toronto Raptors are up to now and then. So for today's first episode, I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the trade between the Winnipeg Jets and the Columbus Blue Jackets, that Patrick Laine for Pierre-Luc Dubois deal. I also want to touch upon the George Springer signing in Toronto. He signed a monster deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, so I want to dive into that. And then, of course, I want to talk briefly about the Sioux Toronto Maple Greyhounds. We'll be able to understand that a little bit more when I get there, but I do want to touch upon them. So first and foremost, with this first topic, you know, this trade that went down between the Winnipeg Jets and the Columbus Blue Jackets, I personally think that this trade was sort of a waste of time for both teams. Maybe outside of the Columbus Blue Jackets landing Jack Roslovic, I don't particularly see either team, taking this trade and running to a Stanley Cup final with it. The Columbus Blue Jackets traded their number one center for a first line winger, which on paper, that doesn't sound too bad. But does Patrick Laine necessarily fit Columbus's system with John Tortorella as their head coach? That was a major issue for Dubois, apparently. He kind of just, I don't think he'd ever admit it, but I think he got fed up with playing for Tortorella, and it was clear that he wasn't playing the sort of defensive game that John Tortorella enjoys and expects from his players. So when they traded for Patrick Laine, I thought, this was silly. Why did you trade for another player who doesn't know how to play defense? I don't necessarily think it'll go sour quickly, but if it does, that would have to be the reason why. I will happily be wrong if somehow Tortorella can turn Laine into a defensive machine. You know, we know he can be hot on offense, but if somehow Tortorella can turn him into a defensive force as well, he does have the chance to be a true all-star in the NHL. I think that's probably what's holding him back right now, is his lack of defensive awareness. On the other hand, if things go bad to worse, you know, maybe he wants to leave Winnipeg and then he gets to Columbus and says, I don't want to be here either. Luckily, he's a free agent at the end of the season. And although he's a restricted free agent and Columbus can match any offer, I wouldn't be surprised if they were going to be forced to match 32 offers, you know, from all NHL teams at the chance to sign a young talent like Laine. Of course, you run into that Erik Lindros syndrome where you maybe are overshadowed for not wanting to play for an organization, and then maybe that overshadows your value a little bit. But I do think he's remarkably talented, and with the right system, Laine could put up scary numbers. It'll be interesting to see where maybe his career goes after this season, of course. But I would be shocked. I would be shocked if he had long-term plans to stay in Columbus. Now, the part of the deal I do like for the Blue Jackets is them obtaining Jack Roslovic in the deal as well. That would make them the winners of this trade, if you could deem a winner. The former first-round pick, Jack Roslovic, was born in Columbus and is actually gets to be the hometown boy at 23 years old. Not a bad career so far. He's had back-to-back 20-point seasons, and last season was only 1 point away from hitting 30, so we know he can produce on offense. And I think the opportunity for him to play for his hometown will be that nice little bit of extra motivation he needs in order to take the next step for his career. Now, the Winnipeg Jets. I think they overpaid for a player that, in my opinion, won't be a Jet after his contract expires in 2022. As much as I am excited to see what Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois can do as Winnipeg's 1-2 punch down the center, similar to the Laine situation, I just don't see him being there long term. Yes, his family is there. I believe his mom and dad are there. But it is my understanding that Dubois was looking to play in a different market than Columbus, something bigger. And I don't know how the Winnipeg market cuts that, considering they're the smallest market in Canada outside of the Ottawa Senators. I think similarly to Laine, Pierre-Luc Dubois will take his talents to free agency in 2022. Again, he'll be a restricted free agent, so Winnipeg will have the right to match any offers. But putting my bias aside, just kidding, this is kind of maybe bias. I would love to see Dubois wear a Montreal Canadiens sweater one day. He was born roughly 3 hours outside of Montreal, so again, it would be like returning home and playing for the team that you dreamed of playing for as a kid. You know, Montreal would embrace the chance at signing a top French-Canadian talent, and I'm sure the Habs can use that and the fact that they are maybe his hometown team to their advantage come free agency. Our next topic: the Toronto Blue Jays signing George Springer. For the first time in I don't know how long, probably since the Blue Jays Jose Bautista bat flip playoff game, I think the Toronto Blue Jays finally have something that they can cheer about. Roughly a week ago, the Toronto Blue Jays signed one of the biggest free agents in baseball, George Springer, to a massive contract, $150 million massive. For the numbers nerds out there, the contract is structured to peak in 2022, when the Toronto Blue Jays will pay Springer $28 million that year. Springer will make $22 million in 2021. And will also make $22.5 million from 2023 to 2026, the last year of his contract. Of course, it's got all sorts of like bells and whistles thrown in there too for personal accomplishments, but such a heavy price tag, you know, $150 million, it carries quite a large weight of responsibility to deliver, I would imagine. For some who don't know, George Springer was, of course, part of the infamous cheating Houston Astros team, that team we've all come to hate in baseball. The trash can banging champions will forever go down as one of the worst forms of blatant cheating in the major leagues. So I think Springer is looking to rebound from that and probably put that skeleton in the deepest parts of his closet. The right fielder, he is listed as a right fielder on baseballreference.com. He adds to an already crowded outfield for the Blue Jays. Names like Teoscar Hernandez, Gurriel Jr., Randall Grichuk, you know, Derek Fisher's in there too. They've got a number of bodies that can play in the outfield. So you get the sense that the Blue Jays aren't done yet, and they still have some pieces to move. Of course, they did just add Marcus Semien, a shortstop. They signed him to a one-year deal worth $18 million, so we'll see how that plays out. But I think with the addition of that player now, they're certainly going to have to look to move other pieces to strengthen their bullpen. I wouldn't be surprised if Hernandez or Gurriel end up being shipped out to boost the bullpen for the Blue Jays. Yes, they did just add Kirby Yates as well. A great bullpen addition, if you ask me. But if the Blue Jays are serious about dropping some financial burden, they'll do their best to trade some outfield pieces. Hopefully somebody like Randall Grichuk. Randall Grichuk has the worst Blue Jays contract for their outfielders, and I think he's probably the least attractive name on the list for the Blue Jays. So we'll see how that plays out. So far, like I said, bringing in Springer, bringing in Semien, and adding Yates to the bullpen, three very good moves, strong moves. However, I think we need to see some pieces be moved out now in order to strengthen that bullpen a little bit further. And finally, our last topic, the Sault Ste. Toronto Maple Greyhounds. This is a running joke between myself and my friend Nick. Shout out to Nick Dunham. This is a joke that we talk about all the time when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Ever since their now general manager Kyle Dubas took over, it seems as though the Leafs have been a continuous home for former players of the team that Dubas managed in Sault Ste. Marie, which is the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Last season, we saw Jack Campbell, goaltender, come over in a deal with another OHL great, Kyle Clifford. He was a Barry Colt, however. Clifford played his OHL career as a Barry Colt, but Jack Campbell played half a season for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds in 2011-2012. He had a save percentage of 3.58 in 34 games, so not terrible. And unfortunately, he is out with an injury for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. We can expect him back in the lineup probably in the next few weeks, but we do wish Campbell well in his recovery. Hopefully we can see him back sooner rather than later. This past offseason, the Toronto Maple Leafs also signed forwards Wayne Simmonds and Joe Thornton, two former Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Simmonds appeared for the Greyhounds in 31 games. In the 2007-2008 season, he recorded 36 points in those 31 games for some pretty decent production. And then you have Joe Thornton, who played two seasons with the Greyhounds, 1995-96 and 1996-97. In his second season with the Greyhounds, Thornton exploded into stardom with what I'm calling a sensational breakout season, where he recorded 122 points in only 59 games played. That obviously drew plenty of attention from the NHL, where he was then drafted first overall in the first round by the Boston Bruins in 1997. So, those three players, Jack Campbell, Wayne Simmonds, and Joe Thornton, joined the list of former Greyhounds to now play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, Jake Muzzin is there, former defenseman for the Greyhounds. And they just drafted another former Greyhound defenseman in Rasmus Sandin. So, We'll see if that trend continues. The Greyhounds have quite a number of offensive studs. So I guess we'll have to find out if they catch the attention of Mr. Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs going forward. And there you have it, folks. That is everything I wanted to talk about on our first episode of Untapped North, and I want to thank everybody for sticking around. I want to give a big shout out to my very close friend, Matt St. Jules, for producing our intro and extra theme music. Please give him and his band a listen on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you so choose. Give the band Hot Donna a check. HOTDONNA. They're awesome. You will not be disappointed. If you enjoyed our theme song, which hopefully you did, you're definitely going to enjoy all of his original music and the kick-ass stuff that they have produced. They're awesome. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Andrew Stewitz. I want to thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day. And until next time, peace.